seated, would you stand in the presence of the Lord? Give him some respect. Honor him today. Put your hands together and magnify him, because he is God. Come on, you're not in some theater. You're in the house of God today. There are angels in this place today. Come on, the glory of God is stirring in this place. Make a little effort and watch what God does in return. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. My God. Give someone a high five and say, God is in this house. Oh, I'm stirred in my spirit today. I feel victory. I don't feel defeat. Well, what about this and what about that and what about that one being? Listen, there is so much more to focus on that's positive and glorious that God is doing. Sister Leah, wave your hand. Was in an accident Wednesday night, flipped her car over. Here she is on Sunday morning, praising God. Everything is well. They found a spot on the CAT scan when she first got there, but after prayer was made, guess what? No spot. God has kept her. Touch. I'm talking about a God. We've got a right to praise the Lord on a Sunday morning. If for anything else, for what he has kept in your life this week. Put your hands together. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be something rise from your spirit today. Jesus, my God. Come on, has God been good to you this week? Do you have a testimony? My son Christian, your youth pastor, called me the other night. He said he was pulling out of a parking lot. He said as he got down the road, as he's traveling down, another car decided to pull out of a parking lot. But this one did not see him. He was on the phone talking to me, and he said, oh my God. And it got quiet for a second. And all of a sudden he said, Dad, I don't know how. And I don't know how it happened, but this car somehow missed me. I have no idea how this happened. He should have broadsided me on the driver's side. He said, Dad, it's a miracle. I said, stop everything right now. Whatever you gotta do, we're gonna praise the Lord for what he just kept. Come on, somebody. There are no coincidences with Jesus. There are no plan Bs with Jesus. Is he a keeper or is he not a keeper? Is he a healer or is he not a healer? Is he a way maker or is he not a way maker? That's my God. That's who I'm praising today. That's why it's coming from my heart and not just my mouth. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Give someone a high five and tell them you've got benefits in Jesus Christ. How many of you agree with me this Sunday morning? There is no greater experience than to be redeemed. For your sins to be forgiven and your sins to be remitted and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lori back there is getting baptized this morning, and I'm going to just say it right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not going to wait till then to celebrate. Amen. Woo! I know it's not all about feelings, but right now I like what I feel. I'm liking what I'm feeling in my spirit. Oh, there's liberty in this church. God. My Lord. If you have your Bibles, open to the book of Acts chapter 19. I want to greet everyone today. And to all of our guests, God bless you. We're so glad you're here today. Please make yourself comfortable and make yourself at home in the presence of the Lord today. This is free for everyone. We don't box Jesus Christ up and to say only certain people can have them. Everyone can have Jesus Christ today. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to thank the Lord for all those that have attended this week's events, soul winners in this church that decided to put off other things to be here in the house of God and invest in education and experience, knowledge, and to be deputized in word and spirit to be soul winners. I never want to think that I know it all. I don't care how many Bible studies. I've lost count of the Bible studies I've taught. And I will tell you this, that I can still learn and still grow. And I never want to lose that teachableness about my spirit. So I want to thank everyone that came out, especially yesterday morning for about an hour and a half. What a move of God every time we got together. And we are in the heartbeat of Jesus Christ, and that is going into the highways and the hedges and compelling people. In other words, be intentional, do what you must, even in convincing people that Jesus Christ is the answer in a world that has shunned Jesus Christ. He is still the answer, regardless of what our world does. I mean, agree with me this morning. Praise God. Acts chapter 19, verse number 11 reads, and I want to finish this morning. Yesterday, I felt compelled to go back to this and complete this message that I started several weeks ago, and I'm just going to call it part two. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. And the evil spirits, everyone say evil spirits. Oh, yes. Went out of them. Verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. It wasn't theirs. Jesus wasn't theirs. They had no authority, but we figured we'd just be imitators. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, verse 14, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Or who are you? Implying, I don't know who you are. Verse 16, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. You better have the goods if you're going to rebuke a devil, try to cast out a devil, or daily fight the devil. A symptom in some religious circles of the last days is spelled out by the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. Now to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. And this is all around us today. I want to be more than just a church, but I want to be the church that has Jesus Christ in it. More than a house, but I want the power of God to be here. I don't want to be just a shell of a religion. I don't want to be just a form. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness. You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Then it says, but denying the power thereof, the power, and from such turn away. This morning I want to finish this thought. Who are we? Put your Bibles down and shake someone's hand and ask them that question. Who are we? Who are we today? Thank you for your worship. Thank you for your sensitivity. You may be seated this morning. I don't feel like I'm alone this morning, but I just want to ask a couple of questions. First of all, we want the adversary to know today that we are not living in fear of him. And I think everyone, if you agree with that, would you shout amen just to kind of join yourself with it. We are involved in a spiritual thing. This is spiritual. Life is spiritual. The spirit world was here long before the natural or the tangible world was here. The spirit world always takes the priority, for it is where we will end up for eternity. We need to understand and recognize that in time, That this very hour, this very moment, there is a very real spiritual world that we have got to be educated on how to deal with it. We've got to know what to do, the positives and the negatives. We know that we have to enter into the spiritual realm to connect with Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? It's why we pray. That's why we worship. That's why we go in areas of faith, things that are not seen by natural sight. We enter into for a positive outcome. How many of you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is still powerful? And when you plead that blood, it does what it's intended to do. It keeps, it protects, it blesses. And how many believe that Jesus answers prayer? But you cannot just remain silent for a prayer to be answered. You have got to say some things. You've got to enter into the spiritual world in order for the natural world to be affected. And if we understand that, we also understand in principle that the spiritual world is constantly trying to invade the natural world, trying to impact and affect men and women, players in this spiritual game of chess that the adversary would like to somehow, some way use you or I as a spiritual pawn to accompany his will and the adversary's desire to destroy humanity and people, especially of God. And so I refuse to be a pawn in the adversary's hand. I refuse to be ignorant of what the adversary is doing and recognizing that there is a very real spiritual world going on. It seems like right before the greatest breakthrough, in my experience of living for the Lord, right before the greatest victory, it seems like all hell will come against you. Right before you win someone to Jesus Christ, it seems like all hell breaks loose. Right before you try to make a decision to live for God with all of your heart, people will come out of the woodwork. What am I saying? I'm saying there is a spiritual attack trying to hinder you from taking one step closer to Jesus Christ, one step deeper in Him. The devil wants to stifle your prayers because he knows that once you pray, it opens up the legality issues of the spiritual realm entering into the natural realm. Before anything happens, we must first ask. Before anything changes, we must first seek. Before anything is delivered, we must first knock. Clap your hands and praise God. That's why your worship is not in vain. You're not wasting your hand. Come on. You're not wasting your time clapping your hands. You're not wasting your time shouting hallelujah. You're not wasting your time rising to your feet and submitting yourself in a victory posture before God, because this thing is spiritual. It works. And I won by my countenance, and I won by my actions, but moreover, I won by my conversations. The adversary to know that I'm not afraid of him. I know who I am. In my study of the Word of God, I know who my adversary is. You need to do a study on hell, and you need to do a study on the adversary. You need to do a study on some of those things. Why? Because you're just curious and there's no. It's imperative that we understand and know who our enemy is. Your enemy's not flesh and blood, your brother and your sister. Your enemy is a spirit, and his name is Satan. How many of you agree that the name of Jesus Christ is powerful? And it does. I'm just going to get ahead of myself here. But the name of Jesus destroys every demonic attack. It pulls down every stronghold, every attack of the adversary, every will, everything the devil wants to do can be destroyed by one single solitary prayer. Oh, lift up your voice and begin to magnify God. I believe in a God who can do anything. I'm not living in fear. Not living in fear of him. Why? Because we know who he is. But more importantly, we know who we are. Poke yourself. If you're a child of God, poke yourself and say, I am a child of God. What does that mean? That means it gets me entry into places. It gives me authority. As a child of God carrying the name of Jesus Christ, oh yes, I might be hated. I might be going against the grain of this world. Oh, yes, it may be some things that come against me, and it may not always be easy. But let me just tell you where now. Because I wear the precious name of Jesus Christ, I live by a different set of rules, and the spiritual world, hallelujah, does not dictate to me, but I have authority in the spiritual world to dictate to the spiritual world. Come on, do you believe that God has given you all power over the enemy? Then clap your hands. If you believe that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, that's what I'm talking about this morning. Come on, we got to know who we are. I know who I am. And I know the power that lives in me when I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In our text, we see that we recognize in Ephesus a move of God is taking place. The power of the Lord was moving mightily. Great things were happening in the midst of witchcraft, in the midst of satanic burning of the arts, open and public demonic activity that was right out in the open. All these things that were taking place, the Bible says in the midst of such darkness, Paul was proclaiming spiritual authority through the name of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just so that he could get himself out of a jam and get himself out of trouble. No, he was on the offensive. He went into the spiritual realm and some things happened. What are you talking about? In the midst of all that witchcraft and satanic burning of the arts and demonic activity, there were yet deliverances. There was healings going on. The power of God was demonstrated in a powerful and tremendous way. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how dark our world gets. The light of Jesus Christ is still brighter than any darkness. The power that we possess is still more mighty and more powerful than any power of the adversary. We ought not fear. There were a group of Jews, the Bible says, in that city, and they were called vagabonds. They had gotten their name by being exorcists and claiming to be able to cast out evil spirits. They required a price, though, for their powerless scam. You know, sooner or later, that stuff does show itself up, and it just shows itself out, and it reveals itself. Listen, if you got the power, then praise the Lord. We don't have to walk around and brag about it. Let me just simply say right now, for purposes today, you can walk around quietly and peacefully and humbly and carry a big stick in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an authority that you possess in the Lord. And the Bible says that as Paul is there and the miracle and signs and wonders are taking place and all the things that's going on, Paul arrives in the town and begins to use the name that they had never heard before. Everybody say, Jesus. They never heard of that before. What's that? And they were keen observers as to what he was doing and what was going on. They acted like they were deeply interested, but yet they were taking notes. Paul, as he begins to pray for people, when he spoke to those devils, they left immediately. Praise God. When this man, Paul, said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. There was no argument. And they witnessed this and they watched that. They said, wow, that could really help us. So this group of vagabond Jews decided that they would add this new name, Jesus, to their artillery, to their tools. And so the seven sons of one Sceva, who was the chief priest of the area, decided that they too would begin to use the name of the Lord. You know, you have got to be deputized and authorized to use the name of Jesus Christ. You can't live any old way you want to live and sin any way you want to sin and commit all kinds of debauchery and sin, and all of a sudden you get in a jam and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, get out. No, I'm sorry. You better pull in some reinforcements. You can contact the Lord. That's wonderful. But I'm talking about authority that's reserved to the bride of Christ, to people of God. We have the power. We have the authority. And if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's designed to give you power to witness, but also power over all the power of the adversary. My God, somebody clap your hands and remember who you are today in Jesus Christ. So they decided that they would use the name of the Lord. And so they found a man that they decided had a devil. The only problem was he really did have a devil. They gathered around this man trying to invoke the name of Jesus, leading up to that, all their hocus pocus and stuff that they were doing. And then they decided to say what Paul said, "We adjure thee by the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches." And nothing happened. No wonder, because they didn't have authority. But instead of the devil leaving, it began to speak. It began to say some words. My mind, as a minister, my mind likes to kind of go through some things. And this is just Ken Bolgren 2 and 12. Is that all right? Maybe it was something like this in that conversation, because Scripture really doesn't say. So maybe it went something like this. That demon-possessed man swung around that circle of seven men, looked at every one of them square in the eye and said, "Oh yes, Jesus I well know." Yeah, yeah. "I met him on a hill called Calvary and it didn't turn out good. I met him in a garden and it didn't turn out good. I was evicted from a lot of other places. I lived like Gadara in the midst of tombs and it didn't turn out good. I saw a stone rolled back after his resurrection. Yes, Jesus, I know." Clap your hands if you know Jesus. Because if you don't, the devils in hell sure know who he is. Come on, the devil knows how much authority is in the name of Jesus. My question is, do we know how much authority? Won't you worship the Lord one more time and just say the name of Jesus Christ? Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe you finished up by saying, "Every time I get around this one God, I begin to tremble. When he walks into the room, I run out as fast as I can because of the power that possesses in that name and that presence of Jesus Christ." And then he maybe went on to say, "And Paul I know." Oh yeah. "Every time he prays, the foundations of hell are shaken." You want to be a somebody, then start praying fervent prayers. I guarantee you, you're going to get a reputation in heaven, and you're also going to get a reputation among the demons in hell. "Oh, we know this Paul. Yes, every time he prays, the foundations of hell are shaken, and his faith is powerful. He's never fearful. And when he speaks in the name of Jesus, strongholds are torn down. We have to let go and we have to give up. We know Jesus and we know Paul." Then the devil speaks and says and makes a statement by asking a question. But what I want to know is this: who are you? Who do you think you are? My message revolves around one point, and that is this. These seven men had no authority in the spirit. We've got a lot of imitators in our world today. Be careful. We've got a lot of people that want to use the name of Jesus Christ but have no power and have no authority. And there are some that use the name of Jesus on the marquee of their church sign, and they don't want Jesus Christ in that place. I'm just saying it like it is. Is that all right? What I'm simply telling you is this. If we're going to be Christians, then we must be Christ-like. If we're going to be saying that we live for Jesus Christ, then we've got to live for Jesus Christ. And if we say we've got the power of the Holy Ghost, it's time to start demonstrating the power that we possess. Come on, it's time, and this is not the hour for passive Christianity. This is not a time for reaction Christianity. This is a time to get on the offensive, to be proactive and start moving into some realms in the spirit. Oh, would you put your hands together? Come on, this is for everybody. "Well, Pastor, I don't do this and I don't know Jesus." You can know him today. You can walk out of this place with authority and the power that I'm preaching about this morning. Let's all put our hands together and cultivate the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Lord. My God. They had no authority in the spirit. Jesus didn't know them, and the devil didn't know them. They didn't have authority to use the name that they were using. They had no idea what they were doing and what they were handling. All they had was a name that they heard somebody else use. All they had was the knowledge of an experience that they had heard somebody else receive. That's all they had. All they heard was preaching that they had never joined themselves to. And they did not know what they were messing with. They were in, like far too many today, a spiritual crisis, trying to deal with spiritual issues in a fleshly way, trying to deal with spiritual things and recognizing them as spiritual in a carnal, fleshly way. You know, you can't destroy spiritual things with bombs and guns. You can't send atomic bombs and nuclear bombs into hell and wipe out Satan. You can't do that. The only way you're going to defeat Satan and the only way you're going to get the victory over him is the same way it was thousands of years ago. Hallelujah. You've got to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and you've got to have an authority about you that says, I know who I am. I know who I am. And because I know who I am in Jesus Christ, the devil's going to know who I am as well. How many of you want to walk into a room and serve hell notice? Come on, how many of you want to walk to a bedside of someone sick and lay your hands on them and they recover? Come on, how many of you want to see spiritual matters resolved and spiritual victory take place? It's not going to happen in the flesh. It's going to happen in the spirit. And it's spelled W-O-R-K. It's going to be work. It's going to be a challenge. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be convenient. But I'm going to tell you, it does work when it's all said and done. Do I have a testimony in this house? Would you clap your hands if you know what I'm talking about? That God does answer prayer. You got to know who you are. You see, every generation must face the challenge of the devil. Your kids and your grandkids. Praying with my grandchildren, my granddaughter, explaining to her some things on how to pray, explaining her to some things, not spooking her, not doing it in an untactful way, but letting her know that she can pray and things can change. There can be deliverance and God can answer prayer. I think it's important that we tell it to our children. God help us. Every generation must face the challenge of the devil. We must not simply be heirs of great men and great women of God, but we must become great in God for ourselves. Our children have got to get this for themselves. Our grandchildren have got to get this for themselves. A new generation and brand new souls that have come to the Lord have got to get this for yourself. We are known of God. And when you are known of God, you can write this down and don't ever forget it. When you're known of God, we in turn are known of the devil. Oh, clap your hands. Come on, the closer you get to God, the more authority you have. The more power you have. More that you know Jesus Christ and the more that he knows you. Hallelujah. Praise God. The more you're going to be known of the adversary. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Brian Wrench, I know. Craig Bolgren, I know. Amber Harvey, I know. A Mark Garber, I know. All over this room. Does God know you? Because that's who I want to get to know. And that's who I want to know me. I want them to know my voice. I want them to say, oh, it's you again. That's right. It's the fourth or fifth time I've prayed to you today, but I'm going to praise your name again. I'm going to give you thanks. I'm not going to get away from you, and you're not going to get away from me, God. Come on. He loves the fellowship of his people. He loves to hear every word. You never tire him out. You never talk too much. You never worship too much. And the more that I'm known of God, the more I'll be known of the adversary. Come on, don't let the devil lie to you. Clap your hands and say, I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. Lift up your hands and pray, everyone in this building right now. I want you to open up your mouth and begin to pray. Begin to worship. I'm getting ready to bring this to a landing this morning. But every one of us have got to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you've got the Holy Ghost, pray. My God, in the name of Jesus. don't want to go somewhere that can't heal my body. I don't want to be a part of something that's not real. I don't want to mess and waste my time with something that doesn't have any significance. But if it does, it changes everything. I got to have a testimony here tonight or today. How many of you will clap your hands or wave your hands and say, Jesus Christ is real? What pastor is preaching today is real? Come on, you need to convince somebody that walked in this building today. Your testimony right now has got to convince somebody that this is as advertised, that God is real and with authority. I can see some things change. Praise God. Let everybody worship him right now. Everybody magnify the Lord right now. Come on, we got to become great in God for ourselves. I want to see what great women and men of God saw in the past in God. Don't you? To see what they saw, then we must pray like they prayed. We must believe like they believed. We must preach like they preached. We must commit and consecrate like they did. Live godly and separated from the world like they did. Your private consecrated life will produce authority in your public life. Authority in the spiritual world will occur, and there is no shortcuts. Lift up your hands and worship the name of Jesus Christ right now. What you're feeling is the power of the Holy Ghost. I need a musician up here. Hallelujah, all over this building right now. Recognize who you are. Come on, your words have life and they have death. They have power and authority. Hallelujah. Come on, it's not enough to inherit this. I'm going to say it again. You cannot inherit this. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying worship is not inherited. You can influence, but it's not inherited. I will recommend if you want your kids to worship, then we need to worship. I want them to see a living, breathing testimony and example. Not somebody just preaches it and doesn't practice it. Let me just simply say it again. Worship is not inherited. Convictions are not inherited. Anointing is not inherited. And spiritual authority cannot be passed down to another generation. I want my kids to have spiritual authority. I want them to be able to walk through the school. I want them to be able to walk through life. And if pastor isn't there, youth pastor isn't there, mom and dad's not there, they know what to do. Would you lift up your hands and say, God, give me wisdom right now. How can I share this? How can I apply it? God, speak to us and show us that we are examples today. Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? And when they had no answer, the devil prevailed against them. He leaped on them, and the seven sons of Sceva stood silent and answerless before the devil. They could not answer. Who are you? I don't know. What a crisis. Who are you? I don't know. When spiritual attacks come against you, your family, your marriage, you need to have an answer. Who are you? I'm a child of God, and I'm not going to stand for this. I love spunky Christians. I like the ones that roll up their sleeves and say, you know what, devil, I'm not going to stand for this. Put the hand on the hip, put the foot down, point the other finger in the face, wag it as much as you want. I'm not going to take this. And I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Oh, God, stir something in us. We got to, oh. We can't be passive Christians in spiritual warfare. Then the Bible says he leaped on them, prevailed against them, and overcame them. Who are we today? Just rise to your feet, would you please? In the presence of our God who is here today. God is trying to get our attention. Is trying to wake members of the church, of the body of Christ. How many have ever had, you gotten up from sitting down and your foot falls asleep? Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. It's a circulation issue, we know. There's like a billion needles are poking you. And you try to walk. What's the matter? My foot falls asleep. It affects everything. But when the body is fully functioning and fully awake, it's able to function and move forward and accomplish things. In the body of Christ, we can't have any falling asleep because it can affect the rest of the body. Come on, the mercy of the body. It says, we'll hang in there and we'll wait because we need you. Wake up, hurry up. And we agitate and we push. We do what we got to do to get that foot waking up because we need that foot because we got to walk somewhere. We're going somewhere. Lift up your hands if you want spiritual authority. I don't mean tomorrow. I mean today. Spiritual authority today. Who are we today? We are the church. And we're marching forward and we're triumphant. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know who I am. And I know who we are. How about you this morning? We cannot settle for being imitators. And we cannot settle for being spiritual copycats. Or just an echo of past voices of generations ago. Poke yourself and say, I've got to have this for myself. Who are we? Who are we? It is a question that we must know the answer to. The answer is of glorious wonder. Who are we? Everybody say it. Who are we? Say it. Let me proclaim just who we are. I'm going to point to you and you say, we are, and I'll finish the sentence. Is that okay? All right? Everybody say, we are?
We are.
Perfect. One more time. Let's shout it out loud. Ready?
We are.
We are the body of Christ. That's who we are. Don't forget that. A building fitly framed together. An army marching with banners held high. The light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. The glue that holds the world together. Washed and sanctified, justified in the name and by the Spirit of our living God. A holy nation, a priesthood, a peculiar people. The apple of his eye, sheep of his pasture. The called out ones, heirs and joint heirs, engrafted, adopted, begotten by the word. Hallelujah. A brotherhood, a sisterhood, a fellowship, people of like precious faith. His children, he is our father. Wherefore we cry, Abba, Father. I'm losing some of you. Victorious. Come on, we're victorious. And when you feel isolated by the devil, he's a liar. You are not isolated. Why? Family. Powerful in Jesus Christ. In charge. Punch somebody in the arm and say, we got to say so. Oh, come on, I've lost half of you. Ready? Here we go. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The church, overcomers, more than conquerors. Now shout, that's who we are. Come on, that's who we are. Clap your hands. If you didn't know who you are before you came to church today, now you know. Worship the Lord right now with your authority. Worship the Lord right now with high praise. Hallelujah. Let's magnify the Lord. Worship him. Worship him. Praise him. His name is Jesus. Come on. Come on, if you know who you are, you are not living in fear. You're not living by fear. You're living by faith. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and begin to worship God. Take on your rightful position in the Lord. And when you walk into ministers, there's some people in this altar that would love you to pray for them.
Heart starts
hallelujah.
Burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Who are you? That's who I am. Yes, let me make no mistake about it.
Worship you.
I know who I am. Hallelujah.
We love
why don't you close your eyes and get your attention 100% on
we'll
Jesus right now. Come on, no one's going to surprise you. No one's going to ambush you. It would be good if some husbands
Jesus,
and wives begin to bind together right now.
We love you.
Come on, seal this message in your spirit
can't
today.
Get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Some of you need to remind the devil who you are. Jesus, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I proudly wear his name.
And when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish, and every hopeless situation ceases to exist.
Why don't you pray with your
Lord? Walk into the room.
Ladies, pray with another lady.
Can't get enough.